This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 195 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, June 10th, 2015. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch. And no, we are not in the same room together as we told you we would be the next time you hear us. We have stories to tell regarding what happened there, but glad to be back here.
Nothing bad. So don't fix that, people. Nothing
right. Bad. So let's see, Marcus. You and I did a little bit of traveling. You not so much. Me a lot.
Yeah, me just to pick you up.
Yeah, so the last time our audience heard from us, we were going to be on our way to WordCamp Orange County, which is just a short drive for you, a long flight for me, two flights actually.
Yes.
And the goal was, or the plan, was to arrive there mid-afternoon, early afternoon on Wednesday so we could do a show together. We could record WordPress Weekly live from your house. We'd be in the same studio. Yep. Unfortunately, I made a boo-boo. I don't know how many other people out there who are listening who are avid travelers have made this mistake. Maybe no one. I wouldn't be surprised if it was no one and it was just me. But I ended up getting to Dallas just fine on my first flight. And as I was waiting for the second flight, I had it in my head that the boarding time was like 2:45, I think it was, or 3:45. And it turns out that, that was departure time. So right. when I was eating across from my gate that the plane was taking off from. And when I arrived to the gate at the time I thought I was supposed to start boarding the plane, the door was closed. They wouldn't let me on. I said, "Hey, there's the plane. Here's the customer. Let me on the plane." He says, "Nope, we already gave it away. There's nothing we could do about it." So I screwed the
pooch. So what were you thinking? Were you thinking that the pilot was just looking out the window going, "Oh, wait, I see Jeff over there." Did you think you had an Uber waiting or what?
No. Maybe I wasn't thinking. No, I'll tell you what I was thinking. I was thinking boarding time was this time and departure time was some other time. I got the two confused. So anyone out there, learn from me. Don't ever do that because you'll miss your flight.
Every time.
Every single time. So what I ended up doing is they booked me on a second flight that was filled up, and so I had to go on the third flight, and I didn't end up in Orange County until dusk. I forgot what time it was, eight or 9 o'clock or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I arrived there at Orange County, 8 or 9 o'clock, and Marcus, wanted to say thanks again on the air for hosting me for 2 days. It was a very enjoyable experience. Thank you very much for the hospitality. You had a blast.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure. And hopefully you got to experience a lot of the things that I experience here, which started off with burritos.
Yes.
At that burrito place. And then we did a little shopping. We went, you had the famed carne asada that I keep teasing you about. And I think the buildup was probably, I probably undersold it to you.
For anyone who doesn't know, see, I'm here in Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio, and I've never heard of carne asada. Apparently, it's a Mexican Southwest United States type of dish or type of meat. You can get it on your burritos. It's well known down that way. But the carne asada I had that night that you got from your local butcher in his own recipe for marinade, I'm not kidding. When it was the best meat I've ever put in my mouth. I'm not kidding when I say that. And Marcus, shut up. I did not set you up for that one.
No, I mean, the only thing that could be comparable to that was the lamb that we had too, which was delicious as well.
Oh, the lamb. The lamb was just fantastic. So I had a blast. I mean, that was the first part of my trip was awesome. So the first day of WordCamp Orange County took place, 2015 version, in Costa Mesa in the Board of Education, Orange County Department of Education. It was quite enjoyable. The weather was very nice. Yeah. It's been very nice for a long time. And let me tell you, Marcus, I don't think you can have a WordCamp venue any closer to an airport that WordCamp Orange County had. I mean, talk about convenient.
It was for you. Yeah, It was very well put up, and that's the beauty of John Wayne Airport in Orange County, is because it's all of the cities are kind of centrally hubbed around the airport, and it makes just about anywhere you want to go within 10 or 15 minutes. It's great. And for you, it was just walking distance.
Right, and the hotel was right there, so I stayed at the Ayers Hotel, which is a pretty swanky-looking hotel. It's kind of fancy inside, a little Victorian decorated. They had model ships throughout the place, fireplace and all that. It was a pretty nice hotel, actually. Mm-hmm. And that was right there. That was right by the airport. So everything was just right there. I mean, if you were one of those people who were speaking at WordCamp Orange County and you could only be there for your session and had to leave, you could do it. You just hop right on. I mean, they had a bunch of private jets there too. So yeah. They had plenty of room there for you.
Well, that's a little over the top, but if I would say this, next year for WordCamp Orange County 2016, if some of you out there are like, I'd love to travel to another WordCamp, that's the one to go to, because everything's convenient. It's relatively inexpensive as far as your lodging. It's a little bit of a smaller airport, so you get pretty good fares, and you can connect from just about anywhere in the country. And I would say it's ideal. I mean, there's a lot of participation. What did you think about the crowd? It was pretty good, huh?
Yeah, there was a big crowd. So unlike most of the other WordCamps I've been to, they actually renamed their happiness bar Ranger Station. So they had the whole camping theme going on. So that was pretty cool. And I want to say that the gentleman, I don't have his name off the top of my head, but the gentleman who did the opening remarks for the WordCamp, you know what? It's very important that you get everybody on the same page and you tell everybody all the information they need up front during the first part of the day, during opening remarks. And the gentleman there did a great job. Talked about the happiness bar / ranger station, talked about sessions, talked about lunch, Wi-Fi, covered all his bases. And I thought the opening remarks were very good compared to, you know, some of the other camps I've went to where some of the information is lacking.
Definitely. And it really helped. And it's nice that you didn't have to worry about meals. The meal ticket was actually on the badge. You just ripped it off and gave it to the food truck, and you got your meal. It was all taken care of. It was beautiful. It was really, really well planned out, and all of the organizers at WordCamp Orange County should be proud of themselves. It was a great event. So you and I are going to go over maybe some of our favorite sessions of the time and talk a little further about it if you'd like.
Sure thing. So on the first day, I had a chance to, you know, the first session of the day, you and I both attended Mika's How Not to Submit a Plugin. And that was very, not only was it informative, but she was entertaining. I had a great time at that one and definitely learned what not to do if I was going to submit a plugin. But one of the other things, too, is I don't think a lot of people really understand the amount of effort and time and people that are involved with the plugin submission process. You know, it's based on volunteers. Mika and Pippa Williamson are pretty much the gatekeepers of the plugin directory. Yeah. And they get a lot of, I think Mika said sometimes they have to go through a queue of 70 submissions, and that's if they're slightly backed up. I think she said there's anywhere between 30 and 40 plugin submissions a day. So that's pretty crazy, and just finding out that, you know, what goes on behind the scenes was a great experience, a great learning experience, and sort of gives me some newfound respect for what those two do on a daily basis for the WordPress community.
Yes, I mean, things like people just copying code and putting their own name on it and changing the name, even though, you know, it's GPL, so hey, let's do it. Even, you know, it has to be unique, and Miki even pointed out examples where somebody copied her code of a plugin, and she didn't bring that forth that knowledge, but just said, hey, I know this isn't yours, so, you know, do it. And, or people submitting bad email addresses or just do the craziest thing. And so I, after the session, asked Mika if she wanted to participate in a future episode of WordPress Weekly, and she agreed. So perhaps she can expand upon her presentation and deliver the whole thing in its entirety to our audience as well.
Oh man, that'll be great. We've already had Pippin on, so it'd be awesome to get the other part of the team plug-in gatekeeper. Yes. that's a pretty long name. Yeah. But one of the other interesting tidbits from that presentation is she said there's a plug-in by Mark Jakewood that lets you do a customized logo, I think, on your admin screen. She said that plug-in gets resubmitted, same code and everything, with just a name change at once every week. Can you believe that? I mean, wow, you know, out of all the plugins, that one, you know, that one plugin with that functionality gets submitted every week. That's kind of crazy.
Well, it's probably one of the most rudimentary plugins there is, right? All you do is change a graphic.
Right. So outside of that, let's see. What else did I attend? I attended a couple other sessions. The one that I really, really enjoyed was the logo presentation by
Andrew Bergeron.
So in that session, he talks about the importance of logo design. And, you know, it just turns out that there's a lot that goes into logo design, from how it looks in print, black and white, to how much it cost, and sort of the history. He talked about some of the history behind a lot of different logos. And he went through his presentation kind of fast, but he was able to cover a lot of material. It's not like I got lost on anything that he said. But I also asked him if he wanted to come on the show to sort of expand upon his presentation and give us some more insight about what does it mean to have a good logo, things to consider when we're thinking about creating a new site or a new company, when we want to create that logo, that branding that creates that type of mind share. And he agreed. So we're looking to have him on possibly in late July or early August, but probably late July.
That's great. And another one that I went to was Scott Bollinger, selling WordPress products. And mm-hmm. Scott did AppPressor and Reactor, and he's got a couple other things. And he talked about making it as a plugin versus themes versus SaaS service. And what I learned about it is true. You know, Scott, and we all kind of knew this. Scott just kind of highlighted it and pointed it out, which is, if you're going to make something in WordPress, if you're going to make a theme, your market is going to be pretty much a one-time user, right? They're going to use it once and then probably not buy from you again. Or, you know, unless it's something like Studio Press, you know, those Genesis themes or things like that, people probably would go into the child themes if they're a developer. But for the most part, things like ThemeForest, any of those paid themes, that's just a one-time purchase. Plugins, a little different market, because obviously it's not dependent on what theme that you own. You'll be in the market for a plugin or multiple plugins, so you have a little bit wider of a net when it comes to making plugins. And then SaaS is obviously a different market, where it's software as a service. We're talking about, you know, things like CoursePress or any of the other ones that kind of run as a service. Stream is another one that comes to mind. So there's a lot of different types of marketplaces that you can interact with and sell your products to within WordPress. And Scott did a great job of boiling all of those down, and I think Scott would be another great guest as well on a future show.
And one of the things I liked about his presentation is when he talked about the software as a service model. And I think a lot of people think that because you can control the distribution and you can control the hardware, or you have more control over how things are running, you don't have to worry about all these different setups and configurations out there, because it's all, you're doing all the hosting, you're taking care of all the processing and everything involved in that. But he really laid out a lot of problems and difficulties or unique challenges that come with software as a service, such as the business model and the pricing and the renewals and the trying to get the new member signups and the onboarding. And I thought he did a great job there. And I, you know, one thing I took away is software as a service is not, you know, it's not a golden key or a golden nugget to success. It definitely has a lot of unique challenges that you have to overcome.
Tons, a ton. So the next session that I went to after that was Jennifer Bourne, who was just on this show, is in the Women of WordPress feature that you had done, and her topic was selling $1 million in design. And now that's not all at once, that's over the course of a 10-year career with herself and her husband, Brian, and they both have Born Creative, B-O-U-R-N, creative.com. And it was a great presentation, kicked off by Chris Lema doing a fantastic introduction. I think I need Chris to do all my introductions. And she basically just talked about the different processes and in what to do with the customer and negotiations and what to offer them as far as revision rounds and how to handle some of those different things. And really it's a testament and sort of a lesson plan in going from just being a freelancer to actually running something where you're a design and development agency. So Jennifer did a fantastic job, as always, as I've seen with all the rest of her speeches and speaking engagements as well. So that was a great one, selling $1 million in design.
Yeah, and the thing I took away from that is I'm not involved in the client or consultation business, never have been, probably never will be, but I really enjoyed her presentation. She came out, you could tell she was just filled with confidence. She had a lot of information. I loved the way she presented her topics, kept everybody engaged, everybody informed. I looked around at the audience. They were all looking at her, staring at her. You know, I saw a lot of people like nodding their heads up and down saying, yeah, you know, that's, I see where you're coming from with that. So definitely one of the highlights of my day. Jennifer Bourne, if you're listening, you did a great job in your presentation. And I think they say you nailed it.
Absolutely. I also did not attend this, but I heard excellent things about the beginner's workshop, which was done on Saturday, and that was Greg Franklin, Catherine Presner, and Adam Silver. And Adam does Kitchen Sink WP podcast and good friend of the show. And these guys did a really good job. I talked to somebody actually at lunchtime that went to that beginner's workshop session, and she said that she was absolutely thrilled with what she learned and that it really solved something that she had been struggling with for months in a matter of just an hour or so. So I applaud those guys in helping to bring others, the frustration people, the people with pain points, and helping to alleviate that at a WordCamp. And I think that's what it's all about as far as expanding our community of new people.
I agree. And so Jennifer Bourne rounded out we left after that session, go to clean up, went to the room. You went back to your place for a bit, and then we met up again at the after party, which was Dirty Nelly's in Orange County, sort of I believe an Irish pub, Irish bar.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And had some food there about 9 o'clock. My elders around me left. Probably the smart thing to do, I found out.
Is that what you're calling me?
Well, I don't know. You're about the same age as me, so. A few people left at 9 o'clock. That's when they brought up the karaoke machine, and it got loud. And I got, you know, everybody had a good time, but I'm still very much in favor of those after parties. If you can put them together in a venue that is where you're able to network, you're able to talk to each other, you're not screaming, you're not yelling. Yeah, you can have a couple of drinks. Maybe there's some appetizers, but it's all about just, I mean, you could talk at room voice and just have a conversation with people instead of, you know, having to compete with a band or a loud radio. That just drives me nuts.
So, yeah, it must have gotten very loud at karaoke time, huh?
Oh, well, it was pretty loud. I mean, I had a great time and all, but, you know, I didn't really network that much because what's the point? I would have no voice the next day after if I tried.
Yeah, it was fun, though. Steve Zenga got out there and kicked it off. We had... Looks like Josh Striebel from Pagely got up there and rocked out.
Yes, a lot of people went up. Not me, though, not me. So we did that for a while, had a couple bites to eat, and then I left, closed the joint down, ended up going back to the hotel. And so, Marcus, this brings us to day two, which mm-hmm. I wish I could forget, but I will never forget day two.
Yeah, sorry.
So I get back to the hotel. It's about 2 in the morning. I wake up. It's about, I don't know, 8 or 9 in the morning. And I don't feel too well. I'm wondering, did I have too much to drink last night? Now, you know, I think there's many people out there who have had one too many and they're at some point in their lives. And, you know, this could have been one of those times. But it didn't feel that way. After about an hour of waking up, you know, I apologize for the grossness of what's coming up here, but I pretty much had to vomit. And after I did that, it just went. Session after session after session came, and you know, I found out that I pretty much probably had, I didn't go to the doctor, but I'm pretty sure I had the neurovirus, which is the equivalent of what we call the stomach flu or the intestinal flu. And folks, if you've ever experienced that, you know exactly how bad it is. It was very rough. And so I spent the entire day two of the conference in my hotel room, in agony, dehydrating myself. It was pure hell. I didn't know if I was going to make it the next day. And Marcus, it was so bad. I almost gave you a call and to ask you if you could take me to the hospital to give me an IV. That's how much of a bad shape I was in.
Well, I would have done it gladly. And it's too bad because there were some great sessions on Sunday too.
And I want to give a very special shout out to somebody because this little gesture that he did really means a lot to me. And his name's Aaron Hockley of WPphotography.com. And he was at the session. He asked at the conference in the area, and he asked me on Twitter if I needed any help, if he wanted to go pick up some things for him. And I said, man, I'd love that. So I asked him to pick me up some Gatorade, some water, some vitamins, some ginger ale, all to try and help me rehydrate because that was the one thing, the most important thing on my mind at the time. And he did. He stopped whatever he was doing, grabbed me some stuff, brought it to my hotel room. And, man, he was like my savior. It was so awesome to see him do that. So thanks again. It just proves it was another instance of the WordPress community helping those in need when they need it most.
Absolutely. So Sunday, first thing after opening remarks was the business workshop. And this is probably, I will say this flat out, of all the WordCamps I've been to, of all the sessions I've seen, of all the WordPress TV stuff that I've seen, this business workshop was the most valuable thing I ever attended at any WordCamp ever. Because, and it wasn't recorded either. And I don't know if that's intentional. I don't know why they did or didn't. I don't know. But it contained the following. Moderated by Jeff Turner, who's great in the Orange County and San Diego WordPress area. Chris Lemma and Kareem Marucci from Crowd Favorite. You had Mendel Curlin from GoDaddy and Corey Miller from iThemes. All in one panel. And one by one, the guys got up and Jeff Turner posed questions to each one of them. I had not, the only one that I had never met was Corey Miller from iThemes. And it was just great to understand the mindset that Corey has, how basically it's the vision of iThemes is, look, you're either on this bus with me to take the journey or get off the bus.
Yeah.
And that was great. Obviously, Chris Lemma, you know, I already idolize the guy as far as the wisdom and the bombs that he drops on me personally. And, you know, whether intentional or not, it does hit home for me. Those are always fantastic things. The thing that resonated with me the most is the acronym GAP, which I don't even think he addressed it as an acronym, but it is generosity, affection, and persistence. And those are the 3 points. And he highlighted each one of those and how it interacts in his life. And finally, we had Mendel Curlin, who is with GoDaddy, and he basically talked about some of the challenges in branding and business and some of the things that we may face as business owners. So I tell you, Jeff, I would have spent good money just to go sit in the room for 2.5 hours to listen to these four guys, plus Jeff. Wow. It was amazing. I mean, it was amazing. I took so many notes. I took so much away from that session that I think it's really going to change kind of my perspective on things. And it was just one of those fantastic things about WordPress and the WordPress community is that we're the only community that's like this that I know of, where everybody just gives the secrets away, right? It's not just like, oh, I know this. And
everyone's like rooting for each other and trying to lift each other up.
That's it. That's totally it. And I'm so proud of this community as far as how we are able to be so selfless, you know, unselfish when it comes to sharing information and expressing, as Chris Lemma put it, that sense of generosity between each other. It's stupid to just think, oh, I can take care of this myself, and I'll just get all this information and hide it, and that way my competition won't find out about it, and I'll maybe get one or two more contracts. Well, that's stupid. Just share your information. Share what you've got. Expand upon it. Contribute, and you're going to get paid off so much better in the long run. And especially in Chris Lemma's part, they basically talked about kind of how do you become an influencer? And you become an influencer by not trying to be an influencer. You become an influencer by being real and being generous and loving your community and being consistent about how you go about it. And Chris is a perfect example of that. So I couldn't say enough about the business workshop. And then
while you were busy getting knowledge bombs, I was over here dehydrating. Just wanted to remind you.
Yeah. I also went to the going from solo to sustainable from Tony Mazzarella. Great talk. Robert Donnell gave marketing automation using WordPress. I caught the last half of that because I walked in a little bit late. I was outside talking to some people. And I caught the tail end of Plug-in-a-Palooza, which was a contest that they had where people were just designing original plugins and then they were giving demos of it, kind of like TechCrunch or something, you know, where you do all that. And then so that was great. That was absolutely great.
Speaking of the Plug-in Palooza, which I wish I could have gone to because that looked like fun just from being a spectator, I want to say shout out and congratulations to Matt Cromwell and Devin Price of the Word Impress team. They won the contest with their Give plugin, the pretty awesome donations type plugin that's available for free. That plugin's gained a lot of press, a lot of good press. So if you haven't checked it out, it's called Give. I think it's givewp.com. I'll double check that, but I'll definitely link up to it in the show notes. But congrats, guys. Good job.
Yeah, and before we wrap up the whole Orange County experience here, I also want to thank Chris Lemma and his wife Melissa and his two kids for hosting you and I and my wife Barbara at their home. We went and had dinner with Chris at his home, and you even got in his pool and did some nice slides, and some of that got on Twitter. And it's just one of those things, I think, that, you know, he dropped some knowledge on you as far as, you know, where you're going and what's going on with you, and did the same for me and really kind of spelled it out in just that basic brick format. You know, we all maybe overcomplicate things, and I think Chris is one of those guys that he's got the talent to kind of see through the fog and see the end of the line for you. And that was really great. And plus, I enjoyed kicking your butt at Donkey Kong at his house too.
And just, I wanted to, on a personal level, you know, there used to be a time way back when I never thought I'd be able to meet Matt Mullewig in person. And then it happened at WordCamp Dallas 2009. And, you know, I look up to Chris. Chris is very generous. I see people having fun on his slide all the time. It's sort of become this thing, and I'm pretty sure it has its own Twitter account or hashtag, the Lemma Slide. And I never, you know, I've always joked around with him saying, yeah, if I ever go out there or whatever, I'd love to come down that slide, but never in a million years did I ever think I would, A, eat dinner at his house, and B, go down a slide multiple times. And I killed two birds with one stone during WordCamp Orange County. Of course, I have you to thank for it because you were my ride, but just what an awesome opportunity. I never would have thought that would have happened, but never say never, I guess, is the lesson learned.
Right, and it's pretty great. I mean, it's one of the highlights for me as far as my WordPress community experiences so far. For me, probably almost better than meeting Matt, really.
Don't let him hear that.
How much knowledge is Matt going to throw on me? Not much. Not as much as Chris will, for sure.
Well, you give him some time. I bet Matt will drop some bombs on you.
All right. Hopefully not one that I'm fired, but so either way, it was definitely one of those experiences that I'll never forget.
So all in all, I give WordCamp Orange County two thumbs up, even though I couldn't attend the second day. That was, was that terrible. I'll never forget that. But you attended the business workshop. What do you, out of, I guess, two thumbs, what do you give WordCamp Orange County?
Oh, it's always great. It's 10 out of 10 always in my book. the way that they have it, the food set up was great. They had three food trucks roll up, and you just turn in your ticket and get your food. I thought that was great. The selections they had was pretty diverse, so that helped. There was pretty decent amounts of shade, even though it was pretty sunny and got a little red, but it was all right. Picnic tables and little umbrella tables all around the little campus there, which was nice if you wanted to just kind of break away and sit down for a little bit. Sat down with Corey Miller on day two and had some lunch, which was cool. And again, kudos to all the organizers, the people that ran the social stream, the people that ran all the tables, the volunteers, all the sponsors. Great job all around.
And one thing about the food trucks, a couple of other camps have done this. And one thing I noticed with Orange County is they had an extended lunch. I think it was, I almost want to say lunch was like 2 hours long.
It was.
And
yeah,
I think one of the reasons they did that is because of the lines. You know, there's a couple hundred people there. And with the lines for the food trucks serving one person at a time, it could take a while. So not only were you able to stand in line, get your food, but you had plenty of time afterwards to enjoy it. You weren't in a rush, and you could network and meet up, and you still had time afterwards to walk around, stretch your legs, go for a walk. I think that was a really cool idea to do a two-hour lunch instead of, you know, maybe just a 1 hour.
Yeah, and that gave you a lot of time to network with multiple people, not just the people that you were eating with. You know, everybody was done eating, kind of walking around a little bit. And another thing, they had sheltered, you know, like a little, easy up, little tent thing or whatever to stand under, so you're not standing in the sun in line, which was pretty handy as well. And overall, it was aces. It was perfect. So I very much enjoyed it. I wish you could have attended day two. We're going to have to pump you full of ammonium next time or whatever it takes. But I think it's probably one that you'll want to come to next year, right?
Yep. And the only issue I had throughout the whole event, and I don't know if it was a software configuration or whatever, but I could not connect to the Wi-Fi via my phone. I couldn't get it to give me that login prompt or that screen, and I don't know if it was because I was using Cloak, which does a VPN. Even though I turned that off, I still couldn't get access to it on my phone. However, on the MacBook Pro, it was pretty easy. So I'm not sure what's going on there. Other than that, I thought the venue was great. The rooms were okay. The rooms were well air-conditioned. It was very comfortable. And overall, it was pretty packed. I wonder if they've reached capacity there at their venue, if they're going to have to search for a new venue, because it was packed.
It was, but that's why tickets sell out in like 2 hours, right?
Right.
I mean, it's first come, first serve, man. That's the venue, and that's what it is. I thought it was perfect. I don't think that more people would have been enjoyable. You know, I think it was just right as far as the people there. We were able to see kind of the pseudo WordPress celebrities that were around. I wouldn't call them that, but influencers. All around. I mean, so many people that you would know just based on their companies or what they do. And, I got to address some complaints of a particular host firsthand.
It wasn't that something. And we got to, not only did you get to do that, but we also covered some things with a few other people representing a couple other companies. And it's amazing while talking to people face-to-face and being able to hear your emotions and hear where you're coming from and hear how you feel about how things went down can sort of change the tune or change the game on getting things done instead of going through like Skype, email, or Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah, it's different when you can actually look somebody in the eye and say, hey, your service just isn't cutting it. And that's pretty powerful, you know. So I enjoyed meeting everybody, and a bunch of people came up to us and said they loved the show, whether it was our show or not. And
I forgot about that. That's right.
You want to tell the story?
Well, you know, at least two people came up to me and Marcus throughout the event, and they said, hey, I really enjoy that show you guys do, especially when you guys do the bar tricks. I'm thinking, whoa, hold on, buddy. We don't do the bar tricks. That's a different show. And at least two people came up to us thinking we hosted the Dragcast, and we don't. We host WordPress Weekly. So
yeah, my beard is not that nice.
So, well, that was interesting. I guess we posed as Dragcast for the day. I'm not sure what's going on there, but hey, if anyone out there listens, you know, if the Dragcast is listening to this show, which I doubt they are, you have at least two fans in Orange County area.
Three, let you include me.
And three. So all in all, if WordCamp Orange County 2016 rolls around, which I bet it will, me and Marcus both highly recommend that you put it on your list and attend it if you can. Great event.
And I'll take you to the beach like I did you.
Yes. That was awesome. So, you know, speaking of, let's see, should we roll into the stories or should we go through our iTunes review first or should we save that for last?
We can do the iTunes review. And right. Actually, I'll make mention of what the importance is of iTunes reviews, and we've had kind of a falling off of the reviews, and it's hurt us in the ranking. We are actually in the top five for WordPress podcasts, at least in the U.S. iTunes store, and
now we're great.
Knocked down again. But this latest review from Robert Lopez, we love this one. It's 5 stars, and I met Robert at WordCamp Orange County, and I didn't prompt him for this review, but I really thank him for it. The title is Like Sitting with the Cool Kids. This podcast is run by 2 great guys with a wealth of insight and knowledge about WordPress and the WordPress community. The quality of guests and information is top tier. Best of all, they make it understandable to beginners like me. I think that's completely the point that we're looking to convey to all of our listeners. So thank you so much, Robert Lopez. That's 5 stars. And keep them coming, people. We really appreciate it, and it does help us out with the rankings and helps to expand the audience here of WordPress Weekly and bring more people to the show.
Thanks a lot, Robert Lopez, for the review. I mean, that's awesome. And you know, we try and cover things and break them down so the layman can understand them, but because of the nature of the show and the guests and the variety of topics we talk about, you know, the degree of difficulty of understanding and technical knowledge that we discuss goes way up and goes way down and sort of in between. It sort of changes from week to week, but I think that kind of gives the show a little bit of variety and kind of expands our listenership. So we're not just, you know, on this baseline of this is what we're going to cover, but we sort of cover the whole range of things.
Yeah. And you know, there's a number of guests that we've had on the show in the previous months that are just a little bit outside the WordPress sphere, and that's going to continue. We're going to bring you some more people like that, that somehow whatever they represent or talk about may not be directly WordPress, but it certainly interacts with WordPress, and it's hooked in somehow so that somebody here within the listening audience that needs maybe an external solution to go beyond WordPress can find those things. We're talking to a lot of different people in the next coming months, so it's going to still jump around like that, but no matter what, we want to give you a well-versed, well-rounded WordPress community experience here on this show.
So, Marcus, with all that said, you know, there's a couple things that have been happening in the whole WordPress ecosystem. Should we get to it?
Yeah, let's roll. We got a ton of stuff here.
All right, first up for bids, WordCamp US.
Vegas. Go Vegas.
So let's see. Matt Mulway actually put out a call for a host city applications on his blog at ma.tt. He linked out to a survey where candidates can apply. So we've been wondering now what the status is on a possible WordCamp US for this year. And well, as we understand it, there's not even a city picked out yet. So still late in the game here. But WordPress is aiming to replicate the success and type of event structure that WordCamp Europe has enjoyed the past few years. The survey states that host city applicants must secure a venue with hotels within 3 miles that could support 1,500 to 2,000 people, and potential organizers must supply average hotel costs for a range of budgets and average flight cost from the West Coast, East Coast, Midwest, Mexico, and Canada. So it looks like hosting the event is probably going to be a massive undertaking. I know WordCamp Europe, they have all sorts of volunteers actually that chip in from different regions, so that's pretty cool. And they've recently closed the application process to host WordCamp Europe 2016, and the team's already training volunteers for next year's event. So WordCamp Europe, they're just rocking and rolling. They have a well-oiled machine here. But in terms of here in the U.S., I'm not sure. No, Marcus, I don't even know if we're going to see a WordCamp U.S. this year. It just seems late in the game, and for it's the first one, so there's probably going to be some rough edges to iron out. But at the very least, we can get the surveys going, some cities picked out, we can get some information going, and who knows, maybe by the end of this year we'll know who the host city is, and we could plan for it for 2016.
Now, I'm wondering why the Board of Tourism for some of these cities aren't already on this and trying to court, you know, the WordCamp organizers and community to host the city, like you know, to host the event in their city, like the Olympics. Wouldn't that be great if they had the big announcement, like everybody in the...
Oh, how many boards of tourism out there know what WordPress is? I mean...
the smart ones.
I don't know. I don't know how many applicants have put in their bids yet. I will say that there has been some confusion and some questions around the process, which on the make.community blog post, I believe it is, Jen Milo has actually answered some of those questions. So I'll link to those in the show notes. If you're planning on submitting your city to the host WordCamp US, you might want to consider some of those things in that post. So when I pulled WP Tavern readers on where they would like to see it held, some of the cities most favored included Chicago, of course, Las Vegas, Kansas City, Houston, and Dallas. But I imagine whatever city gets chosen is probably going to have an established, vibrant WordPress community meetup group sort of already taking place there in that city. I think that would make things a lot easier. You'd have a quite a few knowledgeable local people on the ground to get things started.
Yeah, and you know, everybody knows I want Vegas, only just because I've been to so many kinds of conferences that are similar to WordCamp in Vegas, whether that be through marketing conferences or affiliates or you know, social conferences, things like that. Amazing things that you can do. The after parties there would be just off the hook. The meals, the getting around, the having fun with other people in the WordPress community, I don't think that that's a venue that could be beat. So that's definitely got my vote. Whether that makes the final cut, I don't know. But wherever it is, you can bet that I'll be there.
Yeah, you can count me in as well. Wherever it is, I will be there. So let's see. So here's a big topic we want to take a little bit of time here to talk about, because this has caused a little bit of some uproar in the WordPress community, and that is the menu customizer. So Nick Halsey has pretty much been working around the clock on this thing called the menu customizer, which adds the ability to manage menus using the customizer, so you can see them live. You can see a live preview of the menus as you're adjusting them and managing them. And in his original post announcing the menu customizer, he outlined this very aggressive strategy of removing the menu, the links to the menus link in the admin bar, to the menus in the customizer around for WordPress 4.3 or 4.5 or 4.6. I think because of the aggressive timeline and maybe how it was communicated, a lot of people did not take too kindly to the news. So it created a little bit of an uproar about there's no way this could happen. Think of all the plugins that'll break once you remove the menus link just like that without thinking of backwards compatibility. Is it even possible that managing menus in a customizer is better than what we can do now with a dedicated admin screen, considering the small width of the customizer, which may work great on mobile, but doesn't take full advantage of the space on desktop, which I think is where most website design and building happens. I don't know of too many website builders that do everything via their mobile devices.
No.
So there is a post, after all that backlash and sort of uproar, there's a post by Ryan Bourne, who is a lead developer of WordPress, has been for several years now. And you sort of outlined the trust and the scope of what's going to be happening with the menu customizer. And you pretty much reiterated their the core team's commitment to the customizer. They see it as the future of being able to make non-destructive changes and preview them as an important component of building trust with users. And so they're going to commit to it. They're going to work with it. They're going to do everything they can to improve it. However, he mentioned that the menus links would not be removed, at least for the time being. So that's great news. I think a lot of people panicked when they first heard that, but now we don't know when it may be removed, if ever. Of course, it's also important to reiterate that the menu customizer plugin, which is a feature plugin, has tentatively been approved for merger in WordPress 4.3, but has not been officially approved for the merge. There's a chance that it may not make it. I don't know. We'll see. But the chances are good that it probably will. But Ryan also said that they're going to do a lot of flow documentation, user experience testing to see if the menu customizer is in fact, you know, easier to use, has better workflows, provides better menu management than the back-end admin style design that people currently use. So it's quite possible that in WordPress 4.3 we'll be able to use the customizer to adjust our menus and see real-time previews of them. And there's a slight chance we might not. But at some point, it looks like whether it's 4.3 or 4.4, we're going to see this ability to manage menus in the customizer come to WordPress.
I don't like it. I don't think it should be messed with, really. I mean, I'm not trying to be a Luddite in this whole thing, you know, trying to throw a wrench into the whole thing, but I'm skeptical. I think it should just stay a plugin. If somebody wants that functionality as a back-end developer, then let them have it, but I don't think forcing it is the issue, and I like the way that the menus are laid out now. I don't think the customizer is going to make that any easier at all. I don't see the drag and drop capacity that it would have the same way that the menus functionality has. I think it just may be too cluttered with the rest of the customizer stuff. It's just not, and frankly, I don't really use the regular customizer that much. So I don't know. I think we're just kind of in a skid here as far as our wheels goes with this particular plugin. I don't think it deserves inclusion. I think it should remain a plugin, but that's just my opinion.
And I will say that the future of the customizer is to, some people might be thinking, boy, they're just cramming everything in the customizer, aren't they? Well, no, not exactly. Anything that you can preview or that you would want to see in real time and be able to save those changes is going to be in the preview. So, you know, in the future, it's probably going to be front-end editing. We can already do that with widgets. You can do that with some elements of your theme. You can see a live preview of your theme. And, you know, there is some debate on whether menus are a design or if menus are content. There's a debate there. But apparently menus eventually, whether you like it or not, Marcus, menus are going to be in the customizer. And, you know, who knows? Squarespace has sort of a customizer UI, but it's elegant. It works great. I don't know. I try and stay out of the customizers. I use it to edit widgets in real time, but it sort of drives me nuts because as I'm typing, I'll see in the right-hand pane, it's loading. Then it'll load, then I'll type some more. It's slow. It's not instantaneous. It's not as real-time as I'd like it to be. Sort of drives me nuts. Maybe if they improve that, and maybe if they prove the way the panels open and slide, and maybe some different UI things, maybe I'll get around to liking it. But I just outside of like customizing my theme and previewing some of the colors and stuff, I don't use it that much. I try and stay clear of it.
Yeah, it's not something that probably Well, I'll just leave it at that.
So you actually pointed this out to me, and I realized I updated this on my phone, and I did test a couple of the features out before the show. But Marcus, WordPress for iOS version 5.2 is out, and one of the features I noticed it has is something that you've kind of requested on the show every time we talk about it.
Which is a more robust way to add media to your posts. And now it has updated media capabilities in the sense that once you click the media, it literally is like your camera where it's got the last photo and all your different albums and things that you have. And they've really improved it. I love it. It's a really good step. The only thing I'd love it to do is obviously the things that I told Matt directly, which is I'd like it to be just like how when we have a picture, we can send it right to Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and blah, 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 right from our phone. I'd love to just be able to send it to WordPress. WordPress says, hey, where do you want to post this? And then you just put a caption in and it's done. Wouldn't that be great? Still looking for that. So mobile 5.3, waiting on you for there. Let's make it happen for the 5.3 update. Hopefully they will.
So I remember you saying that. So that's why I went inside and I said, this is interesting. So what you have to do is you have to open up the WordPress for iOS app. You have to select the website that you want to write a post on. Then you have to click the write icon, or not click it, but push it with your finger, touch it, touch the icon. And so you'll create a new post. So you have to give it a new title. And then inside the content area, you click on the media. And as you said, you have the ability on your iPhone now to either select an image that's already on your phone, or you can give WordPress access to your camera. So I tried both of those out. Selecting an image from my phone worked great. I had no problems with that. The one thing I noticed when taking a picture with the inside the app is even though I used the WordPress app to take the picture, I had to actually, I think it was automatically selected when it was added to my camera library on my phone or I think I had to choose it actually. So I think what I would have liked to have seen done is it gives me a preview of the image and say, would you like to use that? And it automatically puts it into the post for me instead of having to me choose it, which seems to be an added step, unnecessary step. But yeah, like you said, it's not like you take a picture and there's an option in there that says push to WordPress, and then you select a blog, you give it a title, and boom, it's published. It's still not quite that easy either. There's still a lot of steps involved within the actual main WordPress for iOS app.
And I'd love to be able to select multiple pictures and have it make it a gallery automatically.
Mm-hmm. So there's that. They've also improved the comments. So now when you're scrolling through a lot of comments, there's actually infinite scroll. So when you scroll down and you're going through the comments, you get to the end, it'll just keep loading all the comments all in a row for you. So that's kind of a nifty feature, especially on a mobile device. So you can, and it'll also tell you when you've replied to the comment. So that's a neat little notification there. Now there's also flexible image upload. So unsupported image formats like .tiff, which I don't even know what that's for. They're accepted and converted into a supported format before uploaded. And there's also a bunch of bug fixes as well. So overall, a continued improvement on the iOS app. And yeah, Marcus, I know you're waiting for some changes, but the app is improving, and I think it's going in the right direction.
Definitely.
And let's see, just a couple of security notes for you today. The first is that WooThemes fixed a cross-site scripting vulnerability in all of their products, which use the Pretty Photo library. So a Pretty Photo is like a jQuery Lightbox clone that's used in a potentially large number of WordPress products. Back in 2014, there is a DOM-based cross-site scripting vulnerability discovered within the library, and it just so happens that earlier in May, it happened to be fixed. So it took a while, but the library is fixed. So WooThemes has pushed out updates to all of its themes and products that rely on the third-party library. So if you use any of the WooThemes products, make sure double check that you are updated or check for the latest updates. And also, there's a Pretty Photo WordPress plugin, which is a plugin, but it just has the library inside of it. Well, it's make sure you're running the WordPress plugin version 1.2 as it contains the patched library. So there's some news there. And also, if I wasn't busy enough for WooThemes, there was also a security and maintenance release for WooCommerce today. So make sure you're running WooCommerce 2.3.11. And it includes a security fix that was reported by the security team that involves a situation with PayPal and the token. And there's some security stuff involved with that. But all you have to do, really, all you need to know is, boom, you got to update if you you got to patch to 2.3.11, or else you may be vulnerable to this, especially if you use PayPal and the token things turned on.
Yeah, definitely do that. If you, put it this way, if you're using WooCommerce, go upgrade, no matter what.
And also, I would also venture to say that if you're using any other e-commerce platform out there and you're using the PayPal payment gateway, I would just double check for the heck of it to see if there's an update for it, because it may go well beyond just WooCommerce. With their PayPal, maybe just a PayPal issue itself. So I double check just to be safe.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's always better to be safe than sorry, especially when there's consumer data, credit cards, things like that, PayPal going through. You want to make sure that every penny goes into your account and not somebody that's got malicious intent.
So we're going to dive into this week's listener questions. And the first one is, where are the bar tricks?
Oh.
Marcus, I want to know why this is in my show notes, because you tricked me. You bar tricked me.
I'm sorry. Yes.
But we don't do bar tricks on here. We do what you trick.
I don't even know what a bar trick is. What is it?
It's well, I tell you what. You and I, we're going to sit back and listen to Dragcast after this episode. We'll find out.
Do I have to?
No.
Oh, good.
You know what? Let's go right into our plug-in picks of the week. That sounds great.
All right. Well, Jeff, it's been a couple weeks, actually, since we've had a plug-in pick of the week. So got some really good ones here for you. First one is called Daily Logo. It's a simple, flexible plugin which allows users to display a different header or logo on their site every day. So if you have a different logo every day, or even just during particular events, this plugin can completely customize and schedule these logos. Now, who do we know, Jeff, that does this kind of thing?
Different logo every day.
Not necessarily every day, but maybe during different celebration times. All right, that would be Google.
Oh, okay, the Google Doodle. Got it.
Yes, so if you want to do the same type of thing with your WordPress installation, this plugin, Daily Logo, will help you do it.
Excellent. Boy, I could have used something like that about 8 years ago, but oh.
Well, it's never too late. The final one, actually, the second one here is called Scheduled Stickiness. And sometimes you like a post to be sticky, but sometimes you just forget to unstick that thing, right? So Scheduled Stickiness is actually something that resides within the post editor, and you can pick when the stickiness will start and stop so that it reverts back down to the normal archive again. It uses the natural WordPress cron job to set and unset the stickiness. And again, it works right out of the post editor. Scheduled Stickiness. And finally, this is something that obviously with my online bizcoach.com programs and things that I'm developing, I'm really interested in learning what the most advantageous learning management system is. And everybody's calling that an LMS now. And this is a plugin that has just come out. It's called LearnPress. And it's used to create, manage, and sell your courses online. Each course curriculum can be made with lessons and quizzes and has a pretty easy user interface. Now, what I found out about this LMS system is that you can migrate and import all of your courses from one site to another, which is very, very valuable. Not a lot of them do this. And today on the Advanced WordPress group, I actually interacted with the developer, Thong Tran. He's from Vietnam, and he told me, this plugin will actually soon have additional add-ons that will help to import other course-based systems. And I'm talking about non-WordPress stuff, like Courseware and Moodle. Moodle's a big one out there. And that's huge, because this presents an opportunity for developers that want to snag clients of Moodle and Courseware and use this and bring them into the WordPress fold. This is a great conduit for that. So if you're looking at anybody out there who's already using Moodle or Courseware, this is one of these plugins that can help you bridge that gap to get them off that platform onto WordPress and into your monthly till as far as maintenance fees and setup if you're a developer. So I highly encourage you to check this out, and I'm anxiously going to follow Thong Tran and all of his progress here on LearnPress to see how he can interact with all of the different other developmental courses out there. So it's called LearnPress. Check it out. Those are my three plugin picks of the week.
Awesome. So that's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly. Now for next week, I will be on vacation. So apologize to all my listeners out there. We will, I don't know, we might whip something up just for the hell of it. So there's something there next week. I'll talk to Marcus about it after the show. If not, then I'm just going to enjoy my week off away from WordPress. God knows I need it. I can't wait. And who knows? Cavaliers might be NBA champions.
No, I'd say Jeff, no, let's not do a show next week.
All right. Awesome.
Said. I mean, you need vacation time. I could use a Wednesday night to go goof around, and that's it. So, sorry people, we're not going to be on next week, but we gave you plenty, and I mean plenty of show this week to hold you over.
Yeah, and if you really are hard-pressed to listen to an episode of WordPress Weekly, I highly, highly recommend that you go back and listen to our episode with our interview with Matt Mulliwake.
Right.
A lot of great stuff in there. We talked about a lot of things, that a lot of projects that maybe you heard about one time and forgot about and are sort of wanting to know what happened. Well, trust me, we covered some of those in the show.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this, listeners, if you can give us 10 iTunes reviews – by next Tuesday, we'll do a show. 10. We need 10.
I don't know. Does iTunes get through the reviews that quick? I'm not
sure.
Yeah,
they do. They do. It only takes a day. So, come on. 10 reviews and you're in. That's a small price to pay. But if you can't do it, then sorry. Jeff and I are taking the day off.
Man, look at you. All right. So, that's going to do it for this week of this episode of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and every other episode, all 194 of them, almost 95.
No, we're on 95 today.
Whoa, 195 of them. Sorry about that.
200's coming, dude.
I know. Probably in late June.
We already blew the Matt thing. We couldn't have waited. We could have had Matt on 200, but.
Well, I don't know. WordPress's 12th birthday. That was.
Yeah, that's true.
That was sort of like planets aligning, you know. But on WPTavern.com, that's where you'll find all the show notes. Just browse to the WordPress Weekly category. They're all right there for you. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro. That's JeffFR0, where I talk about more than just WordPress. And Marcus?
You can find me on Twitter at Marcus Couch, at my website, onlinebizcoach.com, and marcuscouch.com.
Fantastic. So that's going to do it. Until we meet again, which, you know, if you give us 10 reviews from now, we'll be a week from now. We'll be next Wednesday, or it will be 2 weeks from now. And we'll probably have a guest on that week. We'll schedule something because we have a lot of awesome people we talk to in Orange County. And they're just dying to get on the show. So we'll work out something for you then. And until then, everybody stay safe.